Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 30. This episode is brought to you by the Global Workspace Association. In this episode, I chat with Natalie Grosso, senior editor for Work Design Magazine. We talk about workplace trends and their new event series on exploring choice in the workplace. If you have not yet come across Work Design Magazine, you should check it out. It's one of my favorites. It's a fantastic resource for anyone involved in how people work today. They cover architecture, design, culture, well-being, furniture, lighting, sound masking, you name it. They also host events in cities around the U.S. Their current series is on choice in the workplace, and Natalie shares some learnings from the first two events in Washington, D.C. and Seattle. The series continues in Chicago in April and another event in June in Washington, D.C. Enjoy our conversation. Natalie, thanks so much for joining me today. I'm really looking forward to our conversation. I have Natalie Grosso, the senior editor for Work Design Magazine, with me today. How are you doing?
Doing very well, Jamie. Thanks.
You guys have some really fun new programs going on this year and some new premium content, which we'll talk about. So I'm excited to chat about what you're up to.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
So I know Work Design Magazine really well. I love your content. I do a little writing for you as well. And I run into people and sometimes people will say, hey, what should I be reading sort of in the industry? And I always mention Work Design Magazine, but a lot of people haven't heard of it before. So tell us about you and kind of what you're about and who you serve.
Sure. So Work Design is a digital publication. We're dedicated to exploring the ideas that are shaping the workplace today. And we serve what we call the workplace industry. So that's made up of designers, architects, facility managers, HR leaders, commercial real estate people, furniture manufacturers, and then even the end users who are ultimately working in these workplaces that we're talking about. And we serve them with weekly content on workdesign.com, as well as through a series of case studies, videos, webinars, and events.
Yeah, I love it. You serve such kind of a broad range. And I think, you know, the workplace topic has really started to encompass a much broader audience as it's become so interesting and so innovative. We're in just such an exciting time. And your content is so current and you really serve up kind of what the leading folks in the industry are doing so that we can all sort of keep track, which I love.
Well, thanks.
So what are some of the biggest trends in workplace that you're covering right now?
So one thing that keeps cropping up is this widespread recognition of how important people are, you know, the humans in these spaces that we're designing and the value that people bring to the corporate world. We think so much of business today depends on creativity and innovation, and that comes, of course, from people. So we're watching folks in the workplace industry recognize that they have to create environments that are conducive to that, whether that's keeping people engaged, keeping people healthy, and keeping them creative. I actually think, Jamie, I think it was at WorkTech in New York last year that you talked about how we can't just check our well-being at the door of our office. We want to go to work in places that support us first as people, and then we can really produce and be creative.
Yeah, it's funny, the WorkTech event in New York, and I love the WorkTech events, but that was like the first one where I thought people were really kind of excited about this topic. And I think you're right, it's really about being central to the person and thinking about all the other components of space sort of centered around the person. And yeah, I'm kind of a well-being nerd and get really excited about that stuff, but it seems like everyone's getting excited about that and thinking about it and how do we bring it into the workplace, which is great for everyone who works. So it's such a fun time. So you guys are doing, kind of on a related note, just doing an event series on exploring choice in the workplace. So you've had a couple of events so far, one in DC and one in Seattle. So tell us about that series and kind of what the topics are and where you host them and just kind of give us the rundown on those.
Sure. So our regular readers know that in addition to our weekly digital content, we also host these live panel discussions in cities around the country, and we call them our work design talks. And the inspiration for this current series, which is exploring choice in the workplace, actually came from last year's series of talks when we focused on the workplaces of the billion-dollar startups. And the one thing all of those conversations seemed to have in common was that there's a super high level of creativity and interaction that's needed to support innovation at that level of these billion-dollar startups. And that's what really inspired this series. We wanted to look at all of the different choices you have when it comes to creating spaces and even the policies to support that creativity and the interaction that leads to innovation within organizations.
That makes a ton of sense. So you've done one in DC and Seattle. Tell us about the host locations and kind of the themes that are coming out. What are you seeing?
Sure. So the DC event was held at the end of January, and it was hosted at Social Tables, which is a really fast-growing startup based here in DC. It's an event planning app. At that one, the panel was really talking about how much, you know, okay, so we all recognize that the way we work is changing, but now we're faced with this tremendous variety of different ways and places to work. So not only is there more choice in today's workplace, there's an unprecedented variety of it, and the choices that make up that variety keep changing. In Seattle, the Seattle event was held last week at Coterie, which is a co-working facility in Seattle, and I wasn't there, but from what I understand, it's a super cool space, kind of upscale, a really professional work environment that means community in French, especially
okay.
And I thought that's so interesting because increasingly in the co-working space, we're seeing, I think, more and more exclusive spaces, not just in kind of the country club sense, but in the sense that there are different flavors dedicated to a certain type of worker, even in some cases in a specific industry. And there again, I mean, we're faced with this question of choice.
Yeah, it's interesting to see. I looked at the pictures of Coterie online and it looked amazing, kind of an upscale sort of lounge. It has a bar, cafe, work lounge, meeting rooms. Yeah, it looked really beautiful. I'm curious to check that out. And it's interesting, we start to see that a little bit more. And I think as sort of these third spaces evolve, we'll see lots more choice. Do you think at some point there's too much choice? Is that possible?
Yeah, kind of a tyranny of choice.
Yeah.
That's part of what people are grappling with, too, even personally. I mean, in my position with Work Design Magazine, I have the choice to work from home. And, you know, I found after a while that's an easy choice to make, right? And one that many people who don't have that same option are envious of. But you find that, wow, I wish somebody would just make me come to work.
Right.
I don't know if I should be admitting that. Mm-hmm. But we've had this conversation as a team, and we seem to think that the choice, that flexibility, whether it's in your position, is it to work from home or the office, or is it a choice to work somewhere different within the office?
Yeah.
They're good to have, right? It's kind of nice to have that choice and not necessarily to take advantage of it. I think it limits stress in the times that you don't want to be at your desk to do that project, or you have to be at home for a personal reason and you're still going to do your work. But by golly, it's just so much nicer to know you don't have to be stressed figuring it out. I think that's where it really makes a difference.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of inertia that will keep people home when that's a choice until you realize that it's not always the most productive place and sort of force yourself to get out. And now there's so much choice around where you go when you're not at home. And one of those work tech themes was bigger corporations. How do they compel people to come into the office? You know, if policy says you get to pick, then, you know, how do you help people make the right choices and even educate people around like where you might do the best work? I think people in the industry, it's starting to make a lot of sense when we talk about choice in the workplace And I would guess these are some of the themes in the talks about how you design spaces that are meant for collaboration or focus time or socialization or whatever might be appropriate for the work that needs to get done. But how do people sort of learn to use those spaces the right way and know that they exist? And kind of how do you help create policies around that so that they get used in the right way and people make the right choices?
One of the things that came out of our DC talk, which was hosted at this place, Social Tables, was we had their CEO, Don Berger, on the panel. And he jumped in and said after one of the questions, hey, like, I think a lot of our decisions and policies aren't about this variety of choices. It's about limiting choices. Mm-hmm. And he gave two really good examples and different types of examples. One is that you walk into their lobby, and we have a couple pictures from the event up on our website. I'd encourage everybody to check it out. It's just a beautiful space.
Yeah, and we'll link to those places in the show notes to the DC location and Coterie as well. And of course, the Work Design Magazine and a couple of your Kivia online resources.
Awesome. Thank you. But it's Social Tables, you'll see. You come off the elevator and you go into this bay. It's painted, their brand color is this deep magenta. And you can turn one way and you walk into this huge community space, which is where we held the event. And you turn the other way and it looks like you'd walk into the hallway, but it's actually just glass. So you couldn't go the other direction. And he said that was an important choice. We wanted anybody who came to the office, whether they're a guest, whether they're an employee, whether it's a client, we want them to sort of be forced to flow through this great community space.
Mm.
Another choice he talked about in their policies is he said, no way are my employees working from home. I need them all here. How am I going to build a culture without that? And that's an important choice.
Yeah, I think a lot of bigger companies are struggling with that right now. But it's also an easier time because we know so much more about design and what makes people happy and want to come into work and be a part of that culture. So people can design from that, which is easier if you're sort of starting from scratch and you're a newer company. It's harder if you're kind of a more, you know, traditional company that's been around for a long time and grappling with these challenges. Do you see, and I don't know how many of the events you personally get to, but like geographical differences in how people are thinking about workplace, like, you know, either among the coasts in the Midwest or any trends that are popping up there?
Well, actually, I was thinking about this, and it's not a geographical difference that I sense necessarily, but rather a difference by industry. Because, I think at the moment I start to say, well, workplaces in San Francisco are like this, and workplaces in DC are like this, it's going to be like, well, of course they are. You know, it's just the cities and the cultures are so different. But definitely we see clear differences by industry. And they're maybe not the ones you'd expect. You know, I was just telling you about Social Tables, which is this really cool startup, a lot of millennials. It has almost a co-working vibe in the space, a little bit more laid back. But the CEO has decided, you're here. You don't have the choice or the flexibility to work from home. Sitting right next to Don, the guy from Social Tables, on that panel in DC, we had a lead workplace designer from GSA. So now we're talking about the government. And I guess it is kind of geographical. The government
is in D.C., yes.
It's very buttoned up. But they're the exact opposite from Social Tables in this sense. They've got a ton of employees now working from home. This was one of the big case studies we just did. And as a whole, the government's trying to cut down their footprint. And the way they're doing that is by going unassigned in their buildings. Employees book a desk for the days they'll be on site. That whole shebang. And so now you've got these government employees choosing not only when they're going to be in the office, but where they're going to plug in once they're there.
So in that case, can they interchange between different buildings, or are they assigned to a specific building that they check into?
As far as I know, they're still assigned to specific buildings, but I don't think that's off the table down the road.
That's interesting. It's fairly progressive for the government because there are a lot of other companies that aren't sort of moving in that direction quite yet. So that's interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
It's definitely something to watch.
It's probably good from the taxpayer side if they're trying to reduce their footprint.
Oh, absolutely.
Not to make political comments, but sounds good to me. So what other cities are you hitting with your series this year?
Yeah. So we are taking Exploring Choice in the Workplace to Chicago in April. Houston in May, and then in D.C. We're back in D.C. in June with a little twist. It's going to be a panel of only designers, and we're going to talk specifically about designing for choice in the workplace. And then we'll be back in Chicago in July, San Francisco in August, and then round out the year with another event in D.C. We're based in D.C., so it's a good local market. Yep, and we're going to hit Philadelphia and Charlotte.
Awesome. I don't think you do this, but maybe for the future you should find a way to record these sessions.
You're not the first one
to suggest that. I figured. I was just thinking like, oh, I'd love to be, you know, in that audience and can't get to all of them. So that would be a really fun, maybe that'll fit into your, let's talk about your, you just launched a premium content series, I think in December. Tell us a little bit about that. And maybe this video series of your events should fit into the premium content at some point.
We're going to have to talk more, Jamie. You have great ideas for Work Design Magazine. But our premium content, yeah, that's another thing we're really excited about. And we haven't changed anybody who's used to reading Work Design Magazine. We're not changing any of our weekly content in terms of publishing different projects and products, tips and trends, and expert insights. The premium content is a whole additional layer of deeper insights from some of our favorite thought leaders and experts. And currently we're publishing them twice a month. So you can either become an annual subscriber and get access to each of those articles, as well as a free copy of our first ever print piece, our Work Design Magazine print companion, which should be in the mail by the end of March. Or you can buy access to the premium articles one off. I think they're $3.99 a piece.
Yep, I saw that on the last series. Tell me about the decision to do a print piece in this digital age.
Yeah, it started as just we were really hankering for something tangible.
Mm-hmm.
And this first print companion is going to be 5 of our most popular recent articles. There's one about co-working, what the corporate world can learn from co-working. There's one about mindfulness in the workplace. There's one about the importance of company culture when you're creating your work environment. So we see these all as really hot topics that also have some shelf life. So we're hoping that people will find it valuable to have this tangible thing that they can put on their shelf or keep on their desk and reference back to.
Yeah. You know, I think it sort of goes with the, we all still love the magazine and the color and the pictures. And especially when design's involved, sometimes you just want a tangible piece that you can see, but that's exciting.
It's been really fun working with our graphic designer on it. I felt like when I was looking at the first mock-ups, I felt like I was reading these articles fresh for the first time.
Because just, changes them just to put them in a different medium makes them totally different, I would bet.
It does. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, what else are you guys working on this year that we should know about?
Well, we're going to keep driving this premium content. We want to keep making it better and better and eventually start publishing more than twice a month. And we're also making a new push to create more case studies, videos, and then events that are directly related to the spaces featured in those case studies. So our most recent case study was the GSA project that I mentioned. The title is Work is Not What You Do, It's Where You Are. So we've got a great case study, a great video, and what we'd like to do down the road with those projects featured in that way is then host an event on site or at the design firm who was responsible for creating it to get the project team together and talk about it live.
Awesome. That's exciting. Yeah, you guys are just full of, from people who are into the stuff, design and workplace culture and policy, it's all super exciting and such an exciting time. And you guys are really central to that piece. And I think just develop such current and really compelling content. So I'm excited that we were able to have you on the show and hear a little bit more. So tell us, if people want to learn more about Work Design Magazine, where can they find you online?
Workdesign.com is the site. We're very active on Twitter and Facebook and even LinkedIn. So our Twitter handle is @WorkDesignMag. And you can find us on Facebook, Work Design Magazine.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us today. And I'll include links to all of these resources that we mentioned and the two events that we talked about at the Coterie and the, tell me about, what was it called again? Social Table?
Yeah,
social tables. Okay. We'll include a link to that and where to find Work Design Magazine online in the show notes at everythingcoworking.com. Natalie, thanks so much for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you online.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much for having me. This was fun.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.